At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Wake up, everybody. Welcome into Redacted on this, Tuesday, June 10th. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you here on this show. We cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, and we try to follow the truth wherever it takes us. We have no agenda. And on the show today, we're going to look at the LA riots. They've gotten worse. And liberals are continuing to say that these are peaceful protests. Maxine Waters said, hey, she was on the streets. She was there on the streets, and it was all peaceful. Okay, tell that to the LAPD headquarters, which was just attacked and smashed in overnight, and the mortar rounds that are being fired at police officers as we speak. We're going to talk about that in just moments.
Plus, we're going to talk about Syria because, hey, we got away with it. The U.S. has been illegally occupying Syria since 2014, since Obama was in office. But, hey, it's all good now because we are going to formalize. We're going to get a lease on that. Basically, we've been squatting there. But the Syrian government, now that we've instigated a coup, says, all good, here's a lease. What does that mean? Probably more troops in Syria, most likely. We're going to talk to CIA whistleblower John Kiriakou about that.
Also, James Fox, a UFO documentarian, is going to be joining us. He's working on a new UFO documentary. But we asked him to take some time out to talk about this Wall Street Journal piece today on the show. So James is going to be joining us a little bit later in the show. So before we get to all of that, we want to tell you about our friends over at Book Profits, because could you use some extra money? Who couldn't, right? Well, you're going to love this because you probably have something in your home right now that can make you thousands of dollars. What is it? Books. Physical used books. Now, I'm not talking about reading those books. I'm not telling you to become an author. That's actually very, very difficult. I'm talking about selling used books online for profit. That might not sound exciting, but it sure is profitable, and it's a very simple thing to do. People are successful making life-changing amounts of money and income with this because it doesn't take a lot of money, time, or technical skills, and it can be done on your own schedule, all online, from the comfort of your own home, anywhere in the world. And the best thing is you don't even have to have books in your home to do it. That's right. If you're interested in learning more about this, there's a short training video that shows you exactly how you can profit by selling used books online. And the best part is the training starts today and it's free. Simply go to bookprofits.com/redacted to watch the training. Again, bookprofits.com/redacted to watch that training video. And there's a QR code there on the screen, which you can use as well. Well, the anti-ICE riots in Los Angeles are entering a pivotal moment right now. President Trump has authorized the deployment of U.S. Marines to help quell the violence. Meanwhile, who's funding these riots and rioters? Videos emerged yesterday of black unmarked cars arriving in the middle of the riots to hand out expensive riot masks to the protesters. Who's paying for that? It's really interesting. Just pulled up, here are all the boxes for riot masks. Here you go. And they knew where to meet them, by the way. It's all very coordinated. And as lawyer Lauren Powell pointed out, one of the NGOs organizing the riots got $34 million in government grants from the state of California just last year alone. Take a look at this. This is the Coalition for Human Immigration Rights. Just one of the groups. Look at that, $33 million. There are many more to name, by the way. I've gone through like a lot of these NGOs today looking at their backgrounds and data. I mean, liberals are calling these peaceful protests. I wonder who organized these peaceful protesters to storm an Apple store overnight in LA, loot everything. They're so peaceful. Those iPhones, grab those iPads, rip them out of the table. The thing is that these morons don't realize is that as soon as those things leave the Apple store, Apple bricks those devices, so they no longer work. But hey, I guess people want to keep looting Apple stores. Apple knows exactly what these people do, so they shut them off immediately, and they're unusable, okay? Or these nice folks smashing the windows of LAPD headquarters. Now, you'll recall, I mean, if you just, like, take your skateboard, smash the windows. Again, yeah, that's LAPD headquarters. It's ironic, of course, isn't it, that one day before that, the LAPD sent out a press release calling the protesters peaceful. Here's that press release. Today, demonstrations across the city of Los Angeles remained peaceful, and we commend all those who exercise their First Amendment rights responsibly. The LA Police Department appreciates the cooperation of organizers, participants, and community partners who helped ensure public safety throughout the day. Of course, then they smashed up the LAPD headquarters. I'm sure they're still peaceful.
And yeah, go ahead, Phil. I missed the part where stealing iPhones was my First Amendment right. I have to go reread the Constitution. I guess they updated
yes.
it.
You didn't know that?
Right.
Well, it's a phone, and it makes phone calls, so therefore phone calls are a freedom of speech. So, yeah, I guess you can just go into an Apple store and just steal phones, according to the LAPD now, I guess. By the way, I know protesters overnight launching mortar rounds at law enforcement. Perfectly normal behavior for peaceful protesters. Look at these peaceful guys.
This is great.
I mean, literally, using like trash cans. It looks like something out of the 1980s, doesn't it? Like, oh my God, like using trash cans and dumpsters as protection, like. You know, and firing off like mortar rounds at these people, at law enforcement. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass says her city was peaceful until Trump got involved with all these ICE raids. She says it's time to end the ICE raids on illegals.
We need to stop the raids. There should not be happening in our city. It is not warranted, and the only thing it does is contribute to chaos. This was chaos that was started at Washington, D.C. On Thursday, the city was peaceful. On Friday, it was not because of the intervention of the federal government.
Yeah.
She has a real problem with cause and effect. Like, fire conditions equal fire. That's new to her, right?
Right.
Criminality equals destruction. I really need to take her back to Economics 101 about cause and effect.
She has a lot to learn. So it's apparently Trump's fault that people smashed the LAPD headquarters. They set cars on fire. They looted Apple stores. They're firing mortar rounds. Let's bring in someone who knows more about the disaster in California that is the disaster of California itself than just about anyone. He's written a book on it. Chris Moritz is the author of Failed State, A Portrait of California in the Twilight of Empire. Look at the top of the book there. Our friend of the show, Tucker Carlson, says, what a remarkable book. Chris, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
So in your book, you talk about a breakdown of law and order and how progressive policies essentially have basically prioritized the criminal over the victims, how the California government even prioritizes cartels over California citizens, which is stunning to me. So I guess my first question, Chris, is how much of what we're seeing right now in Los Angeles is deliberate liberal government policy versus bureaucratic failure? Oh, the bureaucracy just broke down here. Like, how much of this was deliberate?
I don't think you can separate the mismanagement from the ideology. The ideology leads to mismanagement. Mismanagement leads to the ideology. It's completely cyclical. And it's not even necessarily the ultimate truth about why this is happening, why these policies are in place, why these ideologies exist in the first place. Because ultimately, I think this is a question of power. It's about entrenchment. And so even the notion of progressive or conservative, Democrat, Republican, it does not really apply to the disaster that we're seeing. What we're seeing is a rogue, lawless, one-party machine for which there is no single person that is responsible, neither Gavin nor Mayor Bass. They are cogs in this machine. And this machine is about total control in a CCP-style way, fashion. It's certainly heading in that direction. And they have achieved this control primarily through demographic engineering that took place beginning in the 1990s and accelerated the consolidation of the Democratic Party in the state of California that was once at least a purple state. But now we have, since 2012, every single, or both chambers of the legislature and every single statewide office is held by the Democratic Party. So in that kind of milieu, ideology is likely to run amok, corruption is likely to happen, mismanagement is likely to happen. So all of these things are converging on the kinds of disasters we're seeing playing out right now in downtown Los Angeles, but of course also even more dramatically in the Palisades fire.
Now, the police chief admitted that they had been overrun before the federal government ever stepped in. Now, I saw your appearance on Tucker Carlson a couple months ago, and I showed it to my kids, and I said, the reason you cannot go to college in California, even if you want to, even if they recruit you, is because the police there cannot protect anybody. And so can we talk about who the actual victims are here? Because there will be, just like we saw in CHOP, there will be you know, people who are entrepreneurs whose property is completely destroyed and have to rely on insurance. There are now neighborhoods, low-income neighborhoods, where people are, you know, running amok, destroying property. People are unsafe. California lawmakers do not care about the victim of anything, really.
Yeah. Well, they care about their own power, and they care about the maintenance of that power in perpetuity. But as far as keeping people safe, look, I talked to a lot of cops, you know, from all different levels of experience when I was writing this book, over 30 hours of primary interviews. And a director from the LAPD union put it very bluntly to me. He says, he tells everyone, don't come to LA, we cannot protect you. He lives in Ventura County to the north. Many cops do, because it has become a lawless, dangerous place where you are more likely to get robbed, burglarized, carjacked, and beaten up than any other place in the entire country, and in some cases by double. So it's not working, and it's not going to work, because the entrenched parties' powers do not have any thing to gain from that. They feed off the chaos. There's no consequence in terms of electorally, of course. And in some cases, there's even financial aspects that kind of incentivize the continuation of the status quo and even the chaos, as we're going to see in the Palisades, as developers move into that to that space and put in multi-unit family housing. Which is a long-term goal of the kind of the so-called green cult in California.
Wow. That's a story I hadn't heard in all of this, but it makes absolute sense as part of this agenda. People in a chat room, G. Fontez says there have been plenty of free bricks and cinder blocks left out all over Los Angeles, some left on pallets in the middle of roads. We've seen these the funding of these protests and organizing of these protests coming out, massive amounts of money behind this, a lot of NGOs, almost too many to count. Before you joined us, I rattled off just a few that I mentioned here, some receiving upwards of $33 million in funding, some of it with federal dollars, some of it purely on raising that money on their own in order to carry out these protests. We see there are more protests scheduled for June 14th, big No Kings protests as well. So who's behind this, do you suspect?
So that is the key question. And with respect to what's taking place right now, I would simply be offering theories. But I can tell you that the answer to this is to look back to 2020 and the George Floyd BLM riots and protests. In Los Angeles, it is very clear that the protesters who came into the city and the rioters that came into areas that were previously kind of untouched, like the West Side, areas like Santa Monica, where I live, that are not typically exposed to that kind of mayhem. But during that summer, were literally firebombed. Santa Monica was firebombed. Police stood down, of course. But the question is, like, where were those people coming from? A lot of them were coming from out of state. A lot of them were paid anarchists. A lot of them were very well funded. And we do know that institutions, as well as like the financier, like George Soros, but others, have funded these entities directly, but also indirectly through political campaigns related to DAs and George Gascón and so forth. So this is not a kind of organic event that we're seeing. And I think it's important also to distill exactly who is sort of committing this this violence right now. And it's not just simply gangs, although there is an element of that for sure. But it's also a alliance of anarchists from out of state, illegal aliens just in generally aggrieved, and then also illegal alien gangs that are all themselves proxies of the Mexican drug cartels, which control the criminal economy and organized crime in the state of California, have done so for the last 10 years at least.
Now, something Michael Schellenberger said today while observing this, and he is a journalist who has been covering California's authoritarian breakdown for years, is that the government is both permissive, meaning you can steal, you can live on the streets, you can poop in someone's yard, you can. My father's a business owner, and he said, I can't stop people from using the hose on our property.
In California.
They take showers there, like fully naked in his front of his landscape. I can't stop them. The police will not stop them. But then they're authoritarian in other ways. You can't enter a restaurant without a COVID vaccine, or that's how it was. You need permits for this, that, and the other. So in other ways, it's a banana republic. So can you speak to how they are both purposefully permissive and authoritarian?
Yeah, so I think that in terms of the aggrandizement of criminals in California and the diffusion, it seems purposefully, diffusion of crime across the city and out of its sort of natural hubs and kind of historic hubs. This has been particularly acute since the 2020 events. This is perpetuated because behind all of this are policies that have been pushed in place in Sacramento relating to the criminal justice reform movement, advocated very strongly out of Stanford University. And behind that, which is the idea of addressing historical racial discrepancies in jailing and so forth, there is a much darker ideology that I could only describe as crime equity, which is the idea that crime would be used as leniency in criminal prosecution, which had a foreseeable result of allowing criminals to have a direct impact on communities and not be in jail. This is about redistributing violence in the name of redressing racial grievances. So in other words, the equity agenda. And this is not a new phenomenon. It's been used many times by leftist regimes in modern history, employing literally criminals to sort of aggrandize and perpetuate the revolution. Like, that is what is taking place. And so we have you know, in California, both a kind of an oligarchy aristocracy represented very much by Gavin Newsom, who's, you know, their avatar. And then we have, you know, in Sacramento, extreme radicals pursuing really lunatic ideas. And somehow the kind of, moneyed interests and these people converge. And I think that is where we kind of find the ultimate, like, question and to all of this. Like, why is that? Why is California's elite advancing these kinds of policies that are foreseeably resulting in so much damage and violence?
How much did Kamala Harris have to do with this destruction of California?
Well, you know, as I sort of always add as a caveat to this, is that there's no single person responsible for all of this mayhem and disaster. There are many actors in the process and in the machine that have gotten us here. And Kamala Harris certainly did a lot of damage, and I can give you some very specific examples. But it would not be accurate to suggest that she is, you know, she's really the person with her finger on the trigger relating to what we're seeing. What she did do as Attorney General, starting in 2011, was she advocated and advanced policies related to decriminalization and the criminal justice reform movement. That have gotten us to this point where California is so violent and so dangerous, especially to ordinary people. You know, cops would tell me that, like, the 90s were really violent in LA, but in particular, but California in general. But today, it may not be quite as violent in terms of homicides and kind of those sorts of metrics, but the difference is that the violence has been turned against all of us, i.e., you know, law-abiding citizens living in nice neighborhoods. It's been turned against all of us all the time because the criminals have been unleashed and empowered by acts of leniency and policies that people like Kamala Harris have advanced. Kamala Harris even disbanded a 100-year-old narcotics enforcement bureau in the state of California, formed after Prohibition, that was doing, you know, really important work at tackling the cartel influence. And yet, of course, she claims to, you know, be the cartel prosecutor. It's laughable.
Yes, absolutely. Hmm. Well, thank you for your time. Again, the book is Failed State, A Portrait of California in the Twilight of Empire. And again, more research on why we will not send our children to college in California and why none of this is surprising and has been in the works for a very long time. So thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on Redacted today.
Thanks, Chris. You know, I think one of the larger points here, too, is that it's not just confined to California. I mean, it is spreading. And you're seeing the same sort mm-hmm. of cancer that California has created spreading to other. I mean, it's funny that in Minnesota, they were fine with, like, Tim Walz using the National Guard to make sure that people stayed in their homes during COVID lockdowns. Mm-hmm. But now when the National Guard is called in to stop violence, liberals are crying about it and really upset about it.
Right. And we're going to see this play out for months and years now, these juxtapositions of what liberals think is a protest January 6th versus a riot. What is happening this week? This is going to continue. This is the gift that keeps on giving. And there are many angles to look at right now as it continues.
Coming up on the show, CIA whistleblower John Kiriakou is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about how the United States is getting off scot-free in Syria, the illegal occupation of Syria. I mean, John knows more about this region than just about anybody. And John's going to be joining us. Remember what Obama did to him? We're going to talk about that. Plus, we're also going to talk about this UFO cover-up, James Fox, documentarian, and what the Wall Street Journal published this weekend, basically saying all of these, like, you know, craft that you're seeing and all of these, like, anti-gravitational stuff that you're seeing out there, don't worry about it. It's all just U.S. secret government projects. It has nothing to do with any sort of extraterrestrials, anything like that at all. And so we're going to talk with James about that. But first,
also, I want to tell you that we're going to talk about the New York Times getting off scot-free for defamation. Why do they get off, but ABC has to pay President Trump for defamation? That doesn't make sense, right? Yet another reason to hate the mainstream media. We need no prompting for that, but we are going to talk about it. What?
Lily Beans in our chat says, I'm disappointed that you guys can't see the manufactured mayhem that's happening in California. I guess you're referring to California. Well, I think we just did a whole segment on how it's manufactured. I mean, didn't we? We just pointed out all of the funding and the NGO protests and how and these people that don't even live in that area literally are coming in from out of the area in order to create this chaos. I think we just did an entire segment about that, if I'm not mistaken, unless I wasn't here for that.
Yeah. But. All right. Well, we're not going to do it again, but we will. Like I said, these protests are the gift that keep giving because we have a lot to talk about liberal policies failing real people. So we'll do more tomorrow, I'm sure.
More highlights about liberal policies.
I'm sure we will do that more. But first, we want to tell you about our friends at Black Forest Supplements, because studies have been done to show that the flavanols in cocoa stimulate stem cells to come out of your bone marrow, like bees coming out of a beehive in your bloodstream to do amazing things, healing things for your body. But don't take it from me. Look at this clip from Harvard scientist Dr. William Lee that backs this up.
So studies have been done to show that the flavanols in cocoa stimulate stem cells to come out of your bone marrow like bees in a beehive in your bloodstream, and they go out and they find wherever it needs to be repaired. If it's in your heart, they'll fix it. If it's in your liver, they'll fix it. If it's in your skin, they'll fix it. And so we can eat foods like high flavanol cocoa in order to be able to actually get the stem cells to work a little bit better. Now, how do we know this actually functions, it works in people? Well, clinical studies have been done with high flavanol cocoa to show that in like men who are in their 60s with heart disease, they could actually have 2 cups of dark chocolate hot cocoa a day for a month. Yeah. And they doubled the amount of stem cells in their bloodstream, and their circulation improved measurably. And then what's even more important and impressive is that there was a study called the COSMOS study that was completed recently that showed that eating high flavanol cocoa decreases the risk of cardiovascular death.
Yeah.
Right, over a period
like
of
a statin.
Like a statin. Right. Exactly. Except made with by eating the same thing that you use to make chocolate.
That's incredible.
So we're not telling people to go out to have chocolate, which is a confection. It's got a lot of sugar and all kinds of other stuff in it.
Yeah.
But it's the stuff underneath it,
yeah.
The core of it.
Well, chocolate, dark chocolate. But here's the thing. Flavanols are the good stuff found in cocoa beans, but they're usually destroyed in the chocolate making process. Plus, eating chocolate, you know, is putting sugar in your body. That's where Black Forest Supplements come in. They're not any old cocoa. It's the stem cell power up. So you're experiencing, if you are experiencing aging and slow recovery and weak immunity, well, blame your lazy stem cells. And again, you can get just that. You can isolate this by taking a supplement instead of just gorging on chocolate, which you know is not good for you. Our friends at Black Forest are giving you a special discount. They're doing a 50% off store-wide discount for the next 24 hours, including cocoa. So we want to recommend that you go there and get it ASAP while this 24-hour offer lasts. And usually they get out of stock, so take advantage. Head on over to blackforestsupplements.com/redacted or scan the QR code there on your screen, and you'll get 50% off for the next 48 hours. Did I say 24 hours?
Well, they have,
I
said it's 24. A little more than 24. Yeah, okay. It's a little bit more. It's not quite 48 actually, at this moment. Yeah.
Right. So just get on it. Again, that's blackforestsupplements.com/redacted.
Black Dingo in our chat on Rumble says he's been doing the cocoa thing for a month now, and he loves it, or he or she loves it, and says it works great with coffee as well.
Way to go.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right, we got good news, Americans. We got away with our illegal occupation of Syria. Good for us. No consequences. We are invincible. Who else should we invade since that went so well? Well, just a reminder, the U.S. has been illegally occupying Syria since 2014. But now that regime change has softened things up for us, we're suddenly on friendlier terms. Washington wants to make that official. The New Arab reports that a senior U.S. delegation is set to arrive in Damascus in the coming days to sign an agreement with the Syrian government to formalize the U.S. presence, the military presence, marking a significant shift in U.S. policy. So this would be retroactive, meaning we'll just pretend it was cool that we were there all along, even though it was not. This is a textbook pivot being framed as a step towards legitimacy, but really a way to cement U.S. influence in Syria, ensuring that we have easy access to strategic territory, trade routes, oil. Remember President Trump during his first term saying we just wanted to keep them from having the oil, keep it for ourselves. So yeah, we got away with it. All good. No accountability, no reckoning, not even a slap on the wrist for the chaos, the displacement, the suffering that the United States has enacted on Syria since, if we're really going to, it's not just the Obama years. We got to rewind the clock all the way to the 1949 CIA-backed coup. Former CIA agent and whistleblower John Kiriakou joins us to discuss because he has been talking about this for a long time. So up top, all good.
Yeah. Way
right?
to go, John.
We got away with it.
Yeah.
Does this feel good? Should we take a victory lap?
Who else should we invade?
Winning.
I know, right? Yeah. We're going to have 2,000 troops freed up. We can now invade pretty much anybody we want. I will say a couple of things have surprised me about this. First of all, have you seen it anywhere in the American media? Because I haven't, and I look for it. It was the Turks who leaked this story 5 days ago with no following statement from the Pentagon. So the wow. Turks are the ones that are saying, hey, you know, the Americans are engaged in discussions with the new Syrian government. Those discussions are taking place in Ankara. And what it looks like is going to happen is that the U.S. is going to withdraw except for one small base, which we may keep just one person on. One person. Just to say that there is a U.S. presence in Syria, which is nuts to me. But the bottom line is what you
safe,
just
John.
Said.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Sign no me up for problems. That job.
Oh, no problems protecting yourself when you're the only American in an isolated base in southeastern Syria. So
when you have been murdering civilians from that base for a decade.
You are exactly right. You're exactly right. I was having a conversation with a friend earlier today about the illegality of sending combat troops overseas without approval from Congress. And, you know, when you think about it, this is an impeachable offense that has been committed by every single president since Harry Truman. Every single president. The last time the U.S. Congress declared war was on December the 8th, 1941, the day after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But the Constitution is very clear. If we are going to engage in war, it has to be after a vote in Congress, and we just don't bother. You know, Congress has attempted half measures over the years. You know, they'll do authorizations for use of force. Those are just resolutions. They don't have the impact of law. They just pretend that the president is not sending troops, or they talk about approving on a budgetary basis, an appropriations basis, enough to feed and clothe and arm the troops. But that's not the same as a declaration of war. So now we're going to withdraw these combat troops from Syria. They should never have been there in the first place. But are we bringing them home? Remember, this hasn't been reported by the U.S. government. It's the Turks telling us what the Americans are doing. Are we going to send them to Somalia or to the Sahel, where we already have other combat troops? or are they actually coming home? We don't know.
Well, what we've been seeing is that Israel is starting to step up attacks on Syria. So maybe we want to get the heck out of there. Is there an angle there and sort of let them have at it?
There very well could be. The conventional wisdom was that the Israelis and the Turks were the big winners in the fall of Bashar al-Assad. Everybody agreed that that was the case. They were the big winners. And you remember in the immediate couple of days after Assad's overthrow, the Israelis went in, they pushed in past Golan just a couple of miles. And everybody said, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't have done that. But we understand that the Israelis probably want to have a little bit of a buffer zone. Well, listen, there's nothing in international law that says you can have a buffer zone, number one. Number two, the Israelis never said that they were going to stop there and have a buffer zone. Since then, and it's been a couple of months now, they have repeatedly bombed Syrian territory, including inside the city of Damascus. And it looks like that's going to be the Israeli policy now, that nothing is going to change with the Israelis as far as military attacks on Syria. So it could be, and forgive me if this sounds a little bit conspiratorial, but it could be that the U.S. doesn't see an upside to being in the middle between the Israelis and the new Syrian government. So it's better just to leave.
You know, Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz, was on the floor of Congress before he left Congress pushing to get us out of Syria. He was sort of vilified by all those neocons
yes.
in Washington who wanted to continue this war. We were giving him huge rounds of applause. We're an anti-war show, and we can't stand neocons. And so mm-hmm. pushing to get them out of Syria, bring our troops home. He was vilified for it. Of course, that didn't pass. But the argument they used, John, as you know, was that it would undermine the United States of America. It would make the United States of America less secure. That's what they told us. If we brought these forces home, you saw it all over social media. Matt Gaetz, no, this will make us less secure here in the United States. How is that possible?
Right. It's an incredible faulty analysis to me. First of all, if you want to occupy a country like Syria, and I don't know why you would want to occupy a country like Syria, you're going to need 400,000, maybe 500,000 troops, not 2,000 troops. The reason why we sent 2,000 troops during the Obama administration was very simply to counter the Russian presence. We didn't have any reason to be in Syria other than to stick our thumb in the eye of the Russians. Now, the Russians, of course, had been invited into Syria by the Syrian government. Well, now the Russians are gone, and there's no reason to be in Syria anymore. And so I think that's the calculation that has been made. This had nothing to do with violence. It had nothing to do with war. It had nothing to do with terrorism. ISIS is gone from Syria. It's been gone for a long time. This had to do with saving face.
Right. Stephen Cowan's great book called Washington's Long War on Syria goes back to Bashar al-Assad's father and how the United Yes. States hated him because he was an Arab nationalist, meaning he thought that Arabs should build things for themselves. They should, Yes. because Syria doesn't have a ton of oil. They have oil, but not a ton, considering No. when you compare it to their neighbors. But they thought that Arab money should be used for Arab prosperity. And we could not have that. And that's why we've always set our sights on imploding Syria. And what do you think of that?
I think that is exactly right. You know, we danced with Hafez al-Assad, Bashar al-Assad's father, a couple of times. And things were especially good during the Gulf War in 1990-91 because the George H.W. Bush administration convinced the Syrians to send a couple of hundred troops to Kuwait to help liberate the country. So it was all good. But you're right. Arab nationalism has always frightened the United States. And it's always frightened the Gulf Arabs because they're royalists. They're all run by royal families. And so this idea that a country like Syria could maybe join with a country like Egypt, which they did. They changed the name briefly to the United Arab Republic. They merged as one country. That just panicked the West because they were non-aligned. And in Washington, if you're non-aligned, that used to mean you're really secretly with the Soviets. and it panicked the Saudis and the Kuwaitis, the Bahrainis et al., because they were anti-royalist. Well, now here we are all these years later, and the Saudis are finally willing to establish diplomatic relations with Syria. Why? Because the Assads are gone, and there's a former leader of ISIS and Al-Qaeda now running the country. That
so
they're
comfortable with.
So if
we tick off the scariest ones, right? There was Gaddafi, there was Saddam Hussein, and there were the Assads. We got them. Those were people who wanted prosperity for their own nations, and we thwarted that. So
as Hillary Clinton, as Hillary Clinton said, we came, we saw, we killed Gaddafi. Yeah.
So the neocons are high-fiving themselves over this, and the rest of us can just feel absolutely horrid in our stomach for what we did to those civilians. That's how I feel about it. I want to puke.
John, what I got to ask you, we had a Syrian journalist, friend of the show, Kevork Almasian, on the show know, many, many times. But what Kevork told us in the after the fall of Assad and the you know the takeover by Jolani and all of this, and this basically CIA-backed coup that led to this whole thing, I said, you know, do you think Syria will exist any longer? And he said, I'm sad to say, I don't think Syria will exist anymore. You know, the Turks to the north, you know, you have Israel. Do you think, what does the future of Syria look like to you?
I think Syria will continue to exist, but perhaps not looking exactly the way it has always looked. The Turks are there to stay. They're going to be there forever. They talk about a buffer zone. They talk about wanting to work with the Syrian Kurds. They can't work with the Syrian Kurds. They're not able to work with any Kurds. Turkish Kurds, Iraqi Kurds, Iranian Kurds, Syrian Kurds, makes no difference. The Turks hate the Kurds. So they're going to keep this buffer zone. The Israelis apparently intend to remain as occupiers. Even if it's not a lot of territory, the Israelis are not going to leave Syria. And there still are areas of Syria where there are armed bands of Muslim fundamentalists. And so, you know, God forbid that the Iraqis decide they need a buffer zone, for example. Then what do we do? Right. And then Lebanon is falling apart. What does it mean for the border between Lebanon and Syria? So I think Syria will continue to exist, but maybe not exactly the way it looks today.
Our guest is John Kiriakou, someone who knows this area better than just about anyone. Always appreciate your insights, John, for keeping
it
real.
My pleasure.
We have a comment right now that says, who cares about Syria? I mean, okay, we kill people there.
John, why should we care about Syria?
Yeah.
Because Syria is a key to stability in the greater Middle East. You know, it's bad for everybody when governments are not viable. You mentioned Syria's oil. They have just a little bit of oil, enough for themselves, not really enough to export. But it's in America's interest for the Syrians to have a self-sustaining economy, for example, because when people are able to make a living, they don't turn to religion as an opiate. They don't they're not easily radicalized. They don't seek to leave the country and go overseas where they could be radicalized. We need for the Syrians to be able to build an economy that keeps Syrians in Syria and everybody happy.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah. And when you had Assad there, able to control these more fundamentalist sects and be able to keep, you know, so that you didn't have that spilling over. I mean, then, you know, you saw over the past 24 hours, actually the past 6 hours, John, we see head of Al-Qaeda calling for the assassination of President Trump.
That's right.
I mean, you know, before we get you out of here, your comments on that, saying that we need to, these, I guess, Muslim radicals need to rise up and now assassinate President Trump. This is coming from the head of Al-Qaeda.
That was a very alarming report when it first came out. But you have to look at what Al-Qaeda is right now. The Al-Qaeda that he represents is the core Al-Qaeda. It has, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, a few dozen core members. They have no access to President Trump. I think the bigger threat to U.S. interests is Al-Qaeda in the Sahel, in Africa, places like Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, even parts of Ghana and Nigeria. It's exceedingly dangerous there now. And a lot of those governments are in danger of falling. That could draw the United States in. It's not a direct threat to President Trump. But in terms of a threat to President Trump, I think really that's all talk.
Someone in the chat says, why is that, Clayton? Because we effed around over there for the last 100 years. Cut the bullshit. We don't belong there. Hallelujah.
Word. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They 100%. Sell us lies. Yeah, exactly. Like they always, yeah, they sell us exactly. lies through yes. Syria. So we need yes. to constantly have this exercise. And we see you. We don't believe this shit.
That's, so, we don't. Anyway. We don't believe it. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for this. John Kiriakou, always so a pleasure much. To have you.
Thanks, John.
Good to
All
see
right.
you both.
All right. Great to see you as well, John. All right. Coming up here on the show, we are going to talk about this UFO cover-up. James Fox is going to be joining us, a documentarian. He's been working on a new documentary, and we had to pull him away from an editing session just to get him in the show for a few minutes to talk about that. So we're going to talk with James here in a moment. But first
we're going to tell you about our friends over at Brightcore Nutrition, because you know that we are being poisoned with chemicals in our food, sprayed in our skies, in the soil, leached into our food, antibiotics in the soil, in the cows we eat, all of that. But there's something you can do to fight back, and it starts with your gut. Kimchi One is from Brightcore Nutrition. It contains over 900 strains of beneficial probiotics. And that helps flush toxins, restore gut balance, and support your immune system. So when your gut is strong, your body can resist toxins and you'll feel the difference. Better digestion, more energy, clearer thinking, stronger immunity, even improvements in your skin, your hair, your metabolism. And this isn't just hype. Studies show that fermented foods like kimchi can reduce the risk of obesity, improve your blood sugar, and support whole body wellness. Kimchi One is an all-natural, non-GMO, dairy-free, gluten-free, and 100% made by the USA, in the USA, by a company that actually cares about your health. So right now, you can get 25% off your order by using the code redacted at mybrightcore.com/redacted. One more time, that's mybrightcore.com/redacted. Or for the best deal, you also can call 888-404-6312 and you'll get 50% off, free shipping, and even a free bottle of vitamin D3 with your order. So again, you can call that number, 888-404-6312, or head on over to mybrightcore.com/redacted. Clayton gives me these every day. He's very excited about taking kimchi.
I do.
He's very excited about fermented foods. He talks about it ad nauseum. He likes to tell me that he's very regular. When you've been married for almost 15 years, that is something you get excited about, is talking about how regular you are.
Yes, I'm very regular.
Definitely, yes.
Very regular. No, I take it. People are like, Clayton, do you take that? Yes, I take it. I take it every day. I have like, yeah. You bought me one of those big like supplement vitamin things with the little flip-up lids.
Yes.
You know? So
because I'm an organized geek.
And my 8-year-old daughter, I sat her down for like 30 minutes the other night. I had her reload my whole thing.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, vitamin D, I got the kimchi in there. So all of it. Yeah. All of it. All right.
I made a big pot of like a beef roast a couple days ago in the crock pot, and it was like, it's just great. And then my daughter has been eating that on rice with radish kimchi. It's daikon radish. That's what it's like, these squares of daikon radish, like made like kimchi. And so the other night I come in, she's like, she's just chowing down on it. She's like, I've had this the past 5 meals and I'm not getting sick of it at all.
Yeah, it's so good for you. It's so good.
Threshold in our chat says the meat diet stops gas instantly. That's actually true. I don't know if you guys know that. But when I used to work at Fox in Los Angeles, there was a woman there. She worked in kind of the tape room, which was like an enclosed glass room. And she was like a vegan vegetarian. And people warned me when I first started working there, they're like, be careful because she's a vegetarian. If you go in there, it's just bad gas. Like all she does is just like, and I was like, oh no. So every time I had to go get a tape for the show, I just would like kind of go in there. I'd be like, hold my breath. I'd be like, hi, Janice, I need a number 1565. I'll just wait outside for it.
Mm-hmm.
Slip her some meat.
Yeah.
Give her a meat diet and that'll fix that real fast.
Okay.
All right. Is James here yet?
I think he's not.
Is James
here? He needs about five.
He needs a few more.
What's that?
Yeah, he needs about 5 minutes.
Five minutes. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about last. Then we'll tell you that we're going to talk about this UFO cover story coming up soon. And then we're going to talk about how the New York Times got off scot-free defaming Justin Baldoni. Now, don't roll your eyes. Oh, Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively. I know they're dickheads, but we're going to talk about why the mainstream media was complicit in this faux feminism and why you should care about that. Why do you think did the New York Times get away with this? They didn't do any journalism at all. They did not. Definitely you shouldn't trust them pretty much ever.
Right.
But why did ABC have to settle a case with Donald Trump for defamation when the New York Times didn't? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess when you have certain news organizations that are absolutely connected to the intelligence state and they are mouthpieces of, like, the Washington Post, the New York Times, they are extensions of the deep state.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, you know, they're sort of told, just like Jeffrey Epstein, like, go easy on them.
Right.
Go easy on them. They're intelligence. Right. Yeah. That's what the prosecutor in the Jeffrey Epstein case was told and reported, you know, hey, go easy on him. He's intelligence. Right. So maybe that's what the New York Times gets away with, this kind of crap.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
And sorry, I said D heads, because I know we stream on television and sometimes I try not to say those things. I apologize. When we talk about Hollywood elites, I should have warned you. I also said the SH word when we were talking about the lies about the Syria. So I will
Supreme
go wash
Steve,
my mouth.
Please do that. Supreme Steve in our chat says, Candace Owens is always talking about this. LOL. Yeah. She loves talking about it, I guess.
She's got the nuance of the case. I want to talk about the media angle. I was really hoping that the New York Times would have to pay for this. And they're not gonna. And I hate it. But, you know. Yeah. The New York Times, did you know, started as a paper that was specifically being sold to elites. They wanted to exclude the working class. And that's why, so that they could sell ads for like high-end watches and high-end jewelry and things like that. So they always were trying to prove, whereas the Pulitzer papers were known as the pennies, right? They were read by the working class. They specifically covered stories for the working class. The New York Times was developed. The entire business model was elitism. So it should not surprise us. Anyhow, we will get to that story in a minute.
Mac Wallace Arbitration Service says, does Redacted get its story ideas from Candace? No. This is a pretty big national story, but Candace has been covering like the nuances of like the Blake Lively angle of it with like the back and forth text messages with Taylor Swift and all of that. This is more about the media side.
Yeah.
Old Bag says, I appreciate you speaking your mind, Natalie, just not in front of the children.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Well taken.
Mark Gottlieb says, lost time on this channel. They can't be helped. Sorry about that.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means, but who knows exactly. Maybe they're on a time travel movie. All right, we got James yet? We're waiting on James Fox to come in here.
Still waiting on him, yep.
Okay.
We could move on to our next segment, but he's got a hard out in like 10 minutes, so we can't really move on until he's here. So unfortunately, we're sort of stuck in a loop at the moment. What questions do you guys have for James Fox? We want to talk to him about, obviously, what this UFO story from the Wall Street Journal over the past weekend. But I would love to hear your questions for James. Put them in the chat room now. Obviously, he's been covering this for many, many years, multiple incredible documentaries that he's done over the years. The Moment of Contact, The Phenomenon, of course, and he's working on a new one right now as well. So just let me know your comments on that. Any questions you have? All right.
Do we have any super chats we can? We'll take your questions or we'll take your super chats if you've got
Jim it. Dandy, thank you for the $5 memberships. Steve Lilly says, where are all the aliens in Canada, hidden, non-existent, or just in Parliament? That's a good question. Ask James about the time he met an alien. Did he? I don't know if he did. Murder Diesel says, Clayton, get control of your woman, LOL. Dennis says, hey, Redact, do you guys watch other social media news programs? We don't have a lot of time for that. Because we've got three kids, and so we don't really have a lot of time for that.
What does that mean? Like, what other channels do we watch?
We all watch a lot of Tucker.
Yeah, I watch Glenn Greenwald every day, pretty much. Yeah, I watch. I watch a lot of different things.
Yeah, very few people that I trust in this business. And I know, sadly, I know too much about this business. For instance, there's like conservative publications that are independent media publications who will refuse to run certain stories because it sort of violates a certain narrative. Like, that to me is no bueno. And these are like independent media groups and stuff. So there's not a lot that I trust. You know, we worked in the mainstream media for many, many years. And when you see this, how the sausage is made, that's why, you know, no one tells us what to say. We do the stories we want to do here on the show. And so, you know, we don't have billionaires funding us, telling us what to say. We don't have overlords telling us what to say. So, honestly, there's very few people that I trust. I mean, Tucker and Glenn Greenwald. That's really, from large scale, you know, journalists, I would say.
In the gray zone, too. Gray zone is great.
Gray zone, our friend Max, you know, our friends Max Blumenthal over there, Aaron Mate, David Creighton up in Canada. You just saw like John Kiriakou from Unified TV and stuff like that. But I'm talking like the big, you know, big names that you might have heard of that are out there, like Tucker and so forth. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's see. Should we talk about
the New York Times? Is he in now? I just, okay. Just
nope, he's not in here. Is
yet. He's not in? Okay. You know what? Let's do this other story. How long do you think that story will take? Is that like a 15-minute story?
Probably 5 to 10.
5 to 10 is perfect. Okay. So then let's do that. So if it's about a 5-minute story, that's perfect, because then that'll put us right at 3 p.m. and then we can bring in James. So why don't we do that?
Okay. Why did the New York Times get away with defamation against Justin Baldoni, but President Trump was able to sue ABC? This is yet another reason to loathe the New York Times, which I needed no prompting for. Now, a federal judge just dismissed Justin Baldoni's case against Blake Lively, and the New York Times, meaning the Times won't face any accountability for what to me was very clearly a coordinated hit job on Justin Baldoni and a power grab by the Me Too movement, fake feminism on behalf of Blake Lively. Now, before you say ugh about covering another Blake Lively case, hear me out. I don't care much about Blake Lively, but I do think she weaponized feminism for personal gain and was not a victim of anything other than her own narcissism, which is why I just showed you that pre-nose job photo of her instead of all these glamour shots that you see. Not that one. The media using to get your attention. This is what she really looks like. It's petty, I know, but I did that. Now, here's a quick summary of the case. She filed a complaint with the California Department of Civil Rights. Then someone from her team conveniently leaked it to the New York Times, who promptly published this story. Now, they gave Justin Baldoni one day to respond, but they published the piece just hours before the deadline they gave him, so they never really gave him a proper amount of time to respond. They reported her claims as fact. They did not even try to validate them. After she received backlash, which she was shocked from because she thought she was going to be seen as this victim and heroine, the reaction to her case was, if you were really abused, why don't you file a real lawsuit or a criminal complaint or something like that? So then she had to file a lawsuit. She did, and he countersued both her and the New York Times. Well, his case against her and the Times was dismissed on Monday, and the court cited fair report privilege, which allows media outlets to parrot legal filings without consequences, even if the claims are exaggerated, misleading, or, as Baldoni alleges, completely false. They didn't have to report it. They just said she said this, and they did not properly give him a chance to respond. He can refile his case against her, and I'm pretty sure he will, amending his lawsuit. He cannot refile against the Times. The judge was very generous with the New York Times and dismissed the suit with prejudice, so they're done with this. Now, I asked constitutional expert Lionel from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel if this was par for the course when you go after the media because the bar is so high. He says it's not. He said it was dismissed too easily. Baldoni should have been given another chance to refile. Listen to Lionel's take.
They dismissed the defamation case with prejudice? That's it? No chance to refile? No chance to amend the complaint? What? Here's the best part. He has until, what, the 23rd to refile under such incredibly gripping causes of action like tortious interference with an ongoing business or bad faith. Or, but here's the deal. He can now, or he must, proceed forward with maybe trying to prove that and ultimately take depositions. But stay away from the defamation. Stay away from California's anti-slap statute. You see where this goes? We'll let you go into this. You can go into those other areas that don't involve any particular statements that might be considered privileged under California's legal requirements, boards and tribunals that take statements. But be careful. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? The walking on eggshells? Okay, Your Honor, I'm pursuing this line of questioning not to rekindle, not to try to rehash, not to reintroduce the claims that I tried to make initially under the defamation. But this is tortious interference. And so good luck. I've got to be honest with you, which I always am. We weren't there. We don't know the reasons behind this other than what we read. This is a fine judge with a fine reputation. But ask yourself, in today's climate, when was the last time you ever heard of a case being dismissed before it even got to first base, so to speak? I mean, strike out this fast on pleadings? On just on the form of the pleadings with no leave to amend? Wow. You know, if I didn't know better, nah, I better not say that.
Right? Like, who doesn't like him there? Why doesn't he get a proper shot at justice, at proving his case? The courts do usually give wide latitude to the media to protect freedom of the press, but what they've clearly offered is a loophole for character assassination. The court ruled, that's not really our problem. I guess, not their problem. The law protected the institution, not the individual who clearly is being dragged through the mud here. And it's a gift to weaponize media and a warning to anyone who thinks that due process exists once your name hits the headlines. Now, here's what really chaps my backside is that President Trump was allowed to sue ABC after George Stephanopoulos wrongly said that the president had been found guilty of rape, which he wasn't. And the case was allowed to proceed, even though ABC tried to claim the same privilege that the New York Times used in the Baldoni case. So since the Trump case was not dismissed, ABC settled it. So why then was the Times case dismissed and ABC allowed to go forward? The Times argued that all they did was report on Lively's civil rights complaint. They didn't say whether he was guilty or not. They didn't do the reporting, which is a tacit admission. They don't do reporting. They go with the angle they like. They didn't even try. Baldoni had exculpatory evidence about Lively's claim, and they didn't even seem interested. They didn't give him a real chance to present it. It feels wrong because if the press can publish unchecked accusations with zero liability, it opens the door to reputational hit jobs, which they do with impunity. So the contrast here is glaring. One media giant gets held accountable. The other hides behind legal privilege. And this is exactly why trusting legacy outlets is a mistake. In the war of reputation versus narrative, the press picked a side, and it wasn't even true. So let me know what you think of that.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk with James Fox, UFO director, documentarian. He's dialed in. We're just getting his audio all sorted out. We'll be with him in a second. Claudio in our chat says, please ask James Fox if he's ever looked into the 2006 UFO incident at Chicago O'Hare. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I interviewed Leslie Kane about that on Fox News not too long after, a few years after that happened. And we dove deeply into that on the air on my old show, Fox and Friends, with Leslie Kane. I think Leslie actually covers it in her book on UFOs. But yeah, we'll talk about, see if James has some time to talk about that. But first, if you're a homeowner, you need to listen to this. In today's AI and cyber world, scammers are stealing home titles, and your equity is the target. Here's how it works. Criminals will forge your signature on one document, use a fake notary stamp, which you can order on Amazon. They're like $5 on Amazon. It's kind of crazy. And then they pay a small fee with the county. And just like that, your home title has been transferred out of your name into a criminal's name. The FBI says it's one of the largest and the fastest rising crimes in the United States. People stealing the title. And you think, well, what's the big deal with that? Well, then they can go get loans. They can actually take out mortgages in your home name. And suddenly you, and you won't even know about it. And suddenly you start getting information from, you start finding out like your credit report has been pulled, like all of these things. You find out like there's all these mortgages taken out in your name with your home equity. It's crazy what's happening. When's the last time that you actually checked on your home title? So Natalie and I, we use this service, we pay for it, and we reached out to Home Title Lock and we said, well, you guys want to join us here on the show? We're big believers in this product. We have it on our home that we live in. It's so vital and it's not expensive at all. So HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. And what's amazing is your first 30 days you get triple home title lock protection is free. It's free. They do 24/7 monitoring of your title. Urgent alerts of any changes if someone like steals the title to your home or does anything to it. And the best part, if fraud does happen, then they'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. They'll spend up to $1 million to fix it. They actually have a dedicated team that will help get it back for you. And I think that to me is probably the best part of this service. Like it's one thing to get alerts. That's great. I got an alert. But who's going to help me fix it? How can I get my title of my home back? They will do that for you. They will help you do that. So go to HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. That's HomeTitleLock.com/redacted. And check out their triple, their 30, you get 30 days of triple lock home title protection is free. So even in that first 30 days, even if you don't use the service long term, you can find out in that first 30 days what you have access to, and they will be able to find some amazing stuff yet.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So, all right, is James back with us yet? Anybody?
He still has no audio.
James still has no audio. Oh, unfortunately.
Well?
We had no trouble last time James was on. He was fine. I don't know what happened this time. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I just...
Okay, are you on the phone?
Trying to get him to refresh.
Okay. All right. Well,
do you think you want to set up the story? We can...
I do, but I don't want to set it up twice. I mean...
Yeah.
You know? Okay. But I can. Let's see if we can get James in here.
Okay. We'll give him a few minutes. Do you have any comments about...
I don't know. You have any comments? I'm trying to see. You were... While I was reading that, did it was anything interesting here?
Well, I'm still like... Because we covered this yesterday. We talked about some of this yesterday, too. And I still just like can't get over the Wall Street Journal's coming out saying, no. This was all just government like screwing with you. But then there's no, what were they hiding? I still don't understand what they were hiding. Like, there's no evidence of anything that they were hiding. Like I had said yesterday, like the stealth bombers, the U-2, like the SR-71 Black, were like, we all eventually found out about this stuff. So where is the big reveal?
Is that you can just say weapons and people are like, oh, weapons.
Yeah, secret weapons. Yeah.
That's it.
But like.
Gotcha.
Because it would have to, whatever they were claiming they're hiding would have to somewhat resemble what people are seeing.
Oh, I think we got it.
There we go.
Did we get James? James, can you hear us now? Can James hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
James, can you hear us now?
I can hear you perfectly. Can you guys hear me okay?
All right. Okay, cool. Let me I know we're late here, but let me set up the story here before we bring you in here. So there's James. We're going to get his shot all dialed in here. And all right. Where is it? Here it is. Okay. Well, over the weekend, the Wall Street Journal published what I can only describe as a total hit piece on UFOs and maybe even whistleblowers, people who've been a part of these programs, the reverse engineering programs, crash retrieval programs, all of it. The article's headline, take a look at this, "The Pentagon's Disinformation That Fueled America's UFO Mythology." I might as well have read, you know, "Nothing to see here, folks, just your government gaslighting you again." And according to the journal, all this talk about UFOs, decades of sightings, whistleblower testimonies, military encounters, it's just been one big Pentagon disinformation campaign. James Fox is an incredible filmmaker, UFO investigator. You know him from documentaries like Moment of Contact, The Phenomenon, which digs deep into some of the most compelling UFO encounters on record. And James joins us now. He's been hard at work on his next documentary. We pulled him away from his big editing session to join us for a few minutes here and dial in the Zoom call to get us on here. James, great to see you.
Thanks so much for having me on. My latest film is The Program, just for everybody out there. It's been out for about 8 weeks.
Yeah, check out The Program. It's a phenomenal documentary, and I think you were the perfect person to ask about this Wall Street Journal story. So when I saw this pop up over the weekend, I guess my first reaction was, whenever I see something like this, James, I always want to know the ulterior motives. I'm sure you've been around this a long time. You want to know the ulterior motives of an article being released like this. Why do you think now the Wall Street Journal comes out with a story that basically says it's all been one big psyop, it's all a disinformation campaign, nothing to see here? Why now? Why do you think?
Well, all you got to do is read the headline to this article, and that sums it up right there. In fact, you don't need to go any further. That is part of the psyop. This article is exactly that. It's complete and utter hogwash. And I say this not just because, you know, I believe the David Grushes and the Lou Elizondos that have testified to a bipartisan group of lawmakers that the phenomenon is not just that the phenomenon is real, but that we have definitive proof in the form of spacecraft, of crashed spaceships, and as they refer to biologics. I believe what I know to be true because I've gone around the world investigating the phenomenon, investigating landing cases, crash cases in Brazil. I've been to China, Russia, Australia, South America, Africa. You know, the phenomenon is definitely real. They know it. They can't explain it. And quite honestly, they're in a corner right now. And this has got Sean Kirkpatrick's fingerprints all over it, as far as I'm concerned.
So what do you mean by that? For our audience that's uninitiated into Sean Kirkpatrick, maybe you can explain a little bit about his history. He's featured prominently in the piece. Maybe you can just set the stage there for that.
Sure. So Sean Kirkpatrick ran Arrow, which was the UAP task force, for a couple of years. He was working closely with Senator Gillibrand and I believe Rounds and Schumer. But he was, and I know this because I was working with firsthand witnesses that had already gone to Arrow and testified in a skiff and given street addresses and names and locations of where this stuff is. And none of those detailed reports, classified detailed reports, wound up being even part of the presentation that he ultimately gave. I mean, it was Sean Kirkpatrick, bless his heart, I'm sure that he had the DOD, like, you know, pretty much telling him how to do everything. His hands were tied, I'm guessing, but, you know, he just, it was a complete and utter waste of time. I think the new guy, John Kleskowski, who's running Arrow now, I think he's going to be a lot more transparent, although he did tell me in a skiff a couple of months ago. I started saying, like, you know, obviously you guys are going to come to the conclusion after a careful review of the data, especially the classified data, that we're dealing with some of this stuff as a non-human intelligence. And he looked at me, he didn't say no. He just goes, James, I can't part my hair without the DOD's approval. And you can quote me on that. Basically, what he was saying is, Congress has put me in charge of this organization to get to the bottom of it. But unfortunately, no matter what I uncover, with the clearances I have, I'm not able to share that with the general public or perhaps not even Congress without the approval of the DOD.
One of the things that legacy media is so good at doing is lying by omission. And I think this Wall Street Journal piece to me is the perfect example of that. Here they go through and in detail try to paint all of these like big UFO cases as just disinformation campaigns by the Pentagon. But they don't make any mention. I mean, there's plenty of cases, the cases you covered in, you know, in Brazil, for crying out loud, in your documentary, oh, yeah. Or, I mean, hundreds of other cases where really we have whistleblower good. Testimonies. And they omitted all of that to paint a narrative in their article that it's all one big psyop.
Oh, I you know, for me, I take it personally sometimes because I know these individuals quite well. People like Robert Salas, the launch control officer, Minuteman missiles, height of the Cold War. These guys are so elite and so trained. I mean, my gosh, they got the finger on the nuclear weapons. You know, for these guys to come forward, it's not exactly a career enhancing move, and give testimony about what they experienced and what happened at their bases. I mean, think about these guys. These guys are responsible for pushing their, you know, the launch control officers for a nuclear war. It's like, if yeah. that's not a credible report, I don't know what is. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, the phenomenon we feature, I mean, thanks to Robert Hastings, I mean, countless incidences where these objects are interfering with our nukes. I mean, they're shutting them off in most cases, flying over these installations, shutting them off, and then whizzing off with impunity. But I'll tell you, I'm telling you right now, the reason why we're seeing these types of articles is this is a significant pushback. These guys are not going to go out without a fight. And the revelation of this phenomenon, of this story, is going to be very difficult for them because, you know, they've got technology, so they're going to have to, like, admit that at some point. They're probably going to, you know, have to admit that the phenomenon is real, and yet they won't have... That exposes their vulnerabilities, right? So you've got these objects whizzing around with impunity. You know, they fly rings around our fastest jets, just talked to Dave Fravor, and yet they don't know who they are, where they come from, or what they want. So origins and intent, that's going to be something they don't want to reveal to the general public because for obvious reasons, right? We're vulnerable.
So that's at the heart of it. You believe it's because right now they're being pushed into a corner. These people that don't want disclosure, that don't want the truth getting out there about these programs, about the crash retrieval programs, the reverse engineering programs, all of it. And they're sort of fighting right now and pushing back. And that's why we're getting these articles now.
Yeah. So think about it. I ask your audience for a moment to suspend judgment and let's pretend that it's all real. Okay. Let's assume that they have crash retrieval material. They have bodies. That doesn't necessarily mean they have all the answers. Now, how are they going to disclose that to the general public without sharing that technology? Because let's face it, that technology, the observed technology of UFOs, and you can talk to any fighter pilot about this, dating back to the modern day wave of the 1940s, some say obviously earlier than that, they fly rings around our fastest jets. They have no wings, no tail, no visible means of propulsion. They can hover. They can accelerate from a standstill to out of sight in the blink of an eye, right angle turns. If you can weaponize that technology, it's game over, right? So if the Russians, it's a race to see who can get to it first. So I kind of understand the national security aspect of the technology. I mean, we have to admit that we have it. I don't know exactly how we're going to prove that we have it, but that's up to them. But the fact that we're not alone, in my view, and in the view of many others that are pushing for more government transparency, is the right of every man, woman, and child on this planet. And that's one of the reasons why I continue pushing for more transparency.
Hallelujah. I agree with you. The healing benefits, the transportation benefits, the pollution benefits, all of it. Absolutely important. James, great to see you. I know you have to get back into editing. The newest of your documentaries is called The Program. Of course, you can watch it on Amazon Prime, I believe, right? And where else can people watch it?
It's streaming for free on Amazon Prime if you have a subscription. It's on Apple TV, and it's coming to Tubi and YouTube Movies, so it'll be in another several hundred million homes in the next few weeks.
Awesome. Love having you on here, James. I wish we could spend more time, and we will. We'll do a deep dive. Like I said, we're going to get you on to do that at some point. James, great to see you. I'll let you get back to your editing.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for being here and subscribing and being a part of our show every day. We really appreciate it. Hey, we have a daily newsletter. Check it out. If you go to redacted.inc, that's the place to go and sign up. Natalie writes it every night and into the morning and does a great job getting it published first thing in the morning, covering four or five of the big stories that you might have missed while you were sleeping. You can read it over your cup of coffee right in the morning. It's very easy. It's free. totally free. We don't sell your information. We don't do any of that kind of stuff. It's just a great way for us to stay connected with you, and you have a great newsletter first thing in the morning that you can read. So go to redacted.inc, sign up for that newsletter, and it'll be in your inbox tomorrow morning on Wednesday morning.
All right. Thank you for joining us. I remind you once again that we are on a strange schedule because of the summer. So our live broadcast is a little bit wonky. I hope you're catching us when you can. I really appreciate it. If you please, this week we are broadcasting Monday through Wednesday. So tomorrow will be our last live broadcast. And then again, we have content for you throughout the weekend. And I apologize for disrupting your schedule. Please stay with us as you can. Next week we will broadcast Tuesday through Thursday. So sorry to throw you those curve balls. That is what it's like having your kids home for the summer. And most of you probably know that. And it's a special kind of curveball, really. Yeah,
it's a special kind of chaos.
Yeah. I set out breakfast in the morning for the kids, and one kid wakes up at 8, the next one at 9, the next one not until noon. So this is just the way of it right now. We got a growing teenage boy, plus we have an 8-year-old. That's just the way of it. So anyhow, thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you here tomorrow, everybody.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.